Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. How many times have we let these words warm our hearts? How many times have we heard them and kept their truth? And yet how many times have we considered them in the context of Jesus speaking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus who had yet to believe? Nicodemus had come to our Lord by night, and in the Gospel of John, who plays on these themes of light and darkness, this is a loaded image. Not only did Nicodemus come to Jesus under the cover of darkness so as not to be seen by his fellow Pharisees and rulers, but he also came in the darkness of his unbelief. Yet he came to Jesus because of his curiosity. While Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Passover, he performed signs so that many believed in his name. Nicodemus, knowing that Jesus could not have done these signs by mere human will, came to Jesus in order to learn more about who he was and what he was about. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Yet he did not recognize Jesus for who he is. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anothen, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, this Greek word that Jesus uses, anothen, has a couple of meanings. It could mean here, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Or it could mean, just as we read, unless one is born anew. Jesus could have meant one or the other or even both. But Nicodemus, not yet believing and therefore perceiving heavenly things, interprets Jesus' words only as anew. "How can a man be born when he is old?" he asks. And whether tongue-in-cheek or completely serious, he adds, "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" To this, Jesus responds, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anothen." Born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, in the Gospel of John, we read in the very next chapter that Jesus himself is the living water. Unless one is born in Christ and of the Spirit, one cannot enter or even see the kingdom of God. Let that sink in for a moment. About a year ago, Raphael Samuel from India made headlines around the world after he announced his intent to sue his parents for begetting him without his consent. "It was not my decision to be born," he told BBC. The lawsuit still has yet to go forward, but his message has gone out into the world and a movement has grown around it. "I have been clearly told by the sitting judge that I will be fined by the courts for wasting its time," he answered in an interview just back in November. And yet, as absurd as it might seem, Raphael has an unarguable point. His conception and birth was not an act of his will. Instead, he was brought to life by another. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, born anew, born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. You too did not ask to be born, either by the flesh or by the Spirit. Instead, you were conceived by the will of your parents, born in their flesh. And that is not good news for us. Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In the Psalms, David laments, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Paul writes to the Ephesians that we are by nature children of wrath, unless one is born anothen. Thanks be to God, we have a God who loves us despite our sin. Thanks be to God that he did not ask us if we wanted to be born of Christ and the Spirit. For in our sinful flesh, we were truly and utterly dead. We were under the power and domain of Satan, blinded and bound in his kingdom. We were indeed sons of disobedience. If God would have given us the opportunity to make our decision or to choose him 100 times, then 100 times we would have refused. But God is rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he reconciled us to himself through his Son. God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Through Jesus, God forgave us all our sin, setting it aside, nailing it on the cross. And then, without even asking us, he sent his Spirit so that we may believe and be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now than we are reconciled, shall we live by his life, by his grace. By grace alone, he has made us alive together in Christ, and gives us his own Spirit to believe and receive this by faith. This is not by our own doing, by our own will that we are saved, but it is solely a free gift of God. As Jesus says, "You did not choose me, I chose you." You did not ask to be born anothen. You did not ask for his salvation or draw near to him that you might be saved. Your salvation does not rest upon you. Instead, God drew near to you in his Son. He took your sins and placed it upon Jesus, crucified it, and satisfied his wrath against you. Then he gave you new birth. Birth from above, in Christ by the power of his Spirit, that you too may be born of the water and the Spirit and be saved. Remember what you were taught in the Catechism. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified me and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church on earth and keeps us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. Nicodemus didn't believe when he had come to Jesus by night. But by the time Christ was lifted up as that serpent in the wilderness, Nicodemus had been born anothen by the power and will of the Spirit. After Christ had breathed his last, Nicodemus, along with Joseph of Arimathea, came in the brightness of day to Jesus to collect, prepare, and bury his body. And so now, how are we, as ones who have been born of the Spirit, to care for the body of Jesus? He is no longer in the grave, so he cannot prepare spices and wrap him in linen cloths as Nicodemus did. But we can hear and believe his word that we, the church, are his body on earth. And we can continually nourish that body through proclaiming his word and administering and receiving his sacrament. And we can grow that body by trusting in him, that God really does love the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we can go out into that world with that very same word, that very same message, and share that very same love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord with those who do not yet know, that they too, with us, might be born anothen and have everlasting life. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.